Welcome to the Adult Explore the Bible Weekly Leader Training Podcast, the podcast where we dive deep into scripture to uncover timeless truth. This podcast is designed to help leaders prepare to teach a Bible study group using Lifeway's Explore the Bible adult resources. Today, we'll answer three key questions. First, what is the context of the passage? Second, what do we find in the passage? And third, what's one thing leaders should not miss this week in our leader resources? I'm Amber Vaden, your host. On the podcast with me today is Mike Livingston. Mike is a longtime member of our Explore the Bible team. He also leads an adult Bible study group at his church. Mike, thank you for being here.
Absolutely. Appreciate the opportunity.
Well, today we're discussing session 7, and here we will be examining Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 through 24. Let's begin by looking at where we are in the session. We can think about the book of Joshua in three parts. In chapters 1 through 12, we read about the conquest of the land. In chapters 13 through 21, we learn about the division and settlement of the land. And now in the final chapters of 22 through 24, the emphasis turns to the Israelites' relationship with God. In chapter 23, Joshua gathered all of the Israelites and delivered his farewell address. It was a word of warning. He reminded them that God had fought for them, they must cling to the Lord, and if they turn to other gods, they will lose the land. Their faithfulness to God must be ongoing and not just historical. This brings us to the final chapter of this incredible book. Well, let's take a look at the first set of verses, Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 through 18. After reviewing the evidence of God's faithfulness to the Israelites through the years, Joshua exhorted the people to fear and worship only the Lord. He further declared that he and his family would serve the Lord. The Israelites responded with their own words of commitment to remain loyal. They recalled what God had done for them in the past, delivering them from slavery, protecting them in the wilderness, and driving out the people in the land. And as a result, they would not abandon the Lord.
Let's talk about verse 15.
Mike, what truths or insights are revealed in these verses?
Something that we maybe miss concerning the choice that Joshua put before the people here. Is he said, if not the Lord, who are you going to serve? If it's not the Lord, not Yahweh, then choose between these two sets of pagan gods. And so one set would be the old ancestral gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Canaanites where you are now living. So actually, Joshua puts before the people three choices, three options, not two, but three. Now, we want to backtrack here a second and notice where Joshua has assembled the people. At the beginning of this chapter, in verse 1, he assembles them at Shechem. There's no reason stated, no reason given for assembling them there, but it was deliberate. No doubt it was deliberate, because what's significant about Shechem? Well, a couple of things. This was near where Abraham received the promise that God would give his offspring the land of Canaan, the promise which was now fulfilled. It's in Genesis 12. If you want to look at Genesis 12, 6 and 7, it says, when Abram came to the land of Canaan, he passed through to the land, to the site of Shechem. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. So Abram built an altar there to the Lord. And then Joshua also had built an altar at Shechem earlier in the book of Joshua, chapter 8, verse 32, when he led the people to renew their commitment to the law of God. It says that on the stones of the altar, Joshua copied the law of Moses. And those stones on which the law had been written were more than likely still there, still standing, and would have served as a visual aid as Joshua reminded the people in verses 1 through 13 of their history with the Lord. And so he's giving them these three options. Okay, serve the Lord. But he's just reminded the people in the first 13 verses of the chapter of everything God has done for them. He's delivered them. He's given them this land. He's provided for them. He's remained faithful to them through the years. So serve him or choose between these two sets of pagan gods, the gods your ancestors worshiped before the time of Abraham, or the gods of the Amorites, which were the local pagan gods where they were now. So the question would be, was Joshua seriously giving them this open invitation to choose these other gods? Was that was he serious about this? No. Because in view of what he's pointed out in the previous verses here, in view of all that he said about God's faithfulness and God's power, it really wasn't a choice. How choosing the pagan gods would be illogical, absurd, nonsensical. So he presents it as a choice, but because of all that he has just said, it's really no choice at all who they must serve and who they must worship. We're reminded of Peter's words to Jesus when many started to turn back and no longer walked with Jesus, and Jesus said to Peter, "You don't want to go away too, do you?" And Peter said, "Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life. We've come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." So it was a choice that was not really a choice at all when they looked at the options that they had. And the other thing to notice here is Joshua's leadership in this, Joshua's example. There's a quote in the PSG says, "We should never underestimate the influence a godly example can have on others." John Maxwell said, "Leadership is influence. Leadership is influence because people follow what a leader does long before they follow what he says." So look at Joshua here in verse 15 says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So he's not only encouraging faithfulness, he's modeling it, beginning with his own household. So you could consider this question as you teach this lesson: who has God placed in your life right now that could be influenced by your example of faithfulness? And remember, it starts at home. So Joshua reminds us that serving the Lord starts there. It starts at home. It starts with our own families, our own household. And it's an intentional choice because it won't happen automatically. It's deliberate and it's intentional and it's daily.
Our next set of verses come in Joshua 24, verses 19 through 24. Joshua warned that serving only God would not be easy. The Lord would deal with them harshly if they abandoned him to worship other gods. They repeated their earlier claim to worship the Lord alone. Joshua urged them to get rid of any foreign gods among them. Again, they declared their devotion to obey God. On that day, Joshua made a covenant signifying their commitment. Mike, what should we take away from these verses?
Well, the way Joshua responded to the people's commitment in verse 19, I would say it's rather unexpected and it sounds a little bit harsh. Because when they say, "We will serve the Lord," how does he respond? "You will not be able to. You won't be able to." There's a good question to discuss with your group right there is, why did Joshua respond that way? Why would he respond to their verbal commitment with a warning and not with encouragement? Well, what he appears to be saying in that is, you will not be able to because you're not taking this seriously enough. You don't know what you're committing to. This is not a commitment you'd make casually. And he points out, God is holy. God is jealous, and he will not ignore your sin. He will not ignore your unfaithfulness. He will not share your devotion with any other rivals. So what Joshua is doing here is he's warning them to count the cost of commitment. Just count the cost. This is not something you enter into casually. It's like Jesus said, count the costs. Look in Luke 9, Luke 14, where Jesus talked about counting the cost of discipleship. So again, something else to discuss here in your group is why is it important to count the cost of serving God rather than just making a quick promise? Well, because God demands total commitment, not just a verbal or casual commitment. So words of faith have to be matched by lives of obedience. And these verses here center on the truth that choosing to serve the Lord is a serious, deliberate, demanding, costly commitment that requires undivided, uncompromising devotion. It involves living our lives under His authority. And that involves, it will involve, putting away all of the functional idols from our lives that compete with God for our identity, our security, our trust and allegiance. So devotion is not sustained just by good intentions alone. It requires a daily intentional surrender to a holy God who demands our whole hearts and our whole lives. And it also means inviting accountability, permitting others to hold us accountable in our walk with the Lord, and living out our commitment to serve the Lord in a community of faith. So when you look at the verses here, the people's response was not a, well, I will serve the Lord, I will worship it. No, it's we will. We will. And four times they declare it publicly. We too will serve the Lord. We will worship the Lord. We are witnesses. We will worship the Lord our God and obey Him. So four times they publicly say, we together will do this. You could have a really healthy discussion, really good discussion around the question, what does wholehearted devotion to the Lord look like in the practical, everyday realities of your life, where you live, where you work, where you serve? What's that going to look like?
Each week, we highlight something we think group leaders should not miss in our leader resources. This is something we consider a useful tool to enhance your discussion or deepen understanding of one part of the session. This week, I'd like to highlight pack item number 10, a handout entitled The Life of Joshua. This one-page summary notes the high points of Joshua's life spanning from Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and of course, the book of Joshua. The teaching plan on page 83 of the leader guide shows where you, as the leader, can bring this up in your Bible study discussion and distribute it to the adults in your group. So don't miss this fantastic teaching tool. Well, Mike, thank you for being on the podcast today.
You're welcome. Glad to be able to do it.
Thank you for joining us today. Don't miss next week's episode as we discuss session 8, a study of Judges 2, verses 11 through 23. Mike Livingston will be our co-host, and we hope you'll join us.